From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hours, it's called Demons in Possession, so get ready for that. And before we get going into the program, just want to give my condolences, first of all, to the families of two very special people in my life. First of all, my uncle, my dad's cousin, Colonel Leon Norrie. He passed away. I just wished him a happy birthday a month ago. He turned 100 years old. He had a great life. And then an old University of Detroit school chum, Dr. Steve Cerrone, passed away at the age of 63. His family, of course, and his wife, Josie, whom we had all grown up with. Stephen had been ill for the last couple of years. Deepest condolences to the family there. Here's what's happening. Glee star Corey Monteith has been found dead at Vancouver's Fairmont Pacific Rim Hotel. He was 31 years old. The actor was found at noon on Saturday on the hotel's 21st floor. He checked into the hotel on July 6th, was expected to check out Saturday when Monteith missed his checkout time at the noon area around the hotel. Staff went to his room, discovered his body. An autopsy has been done, results possibly tomorrow. Now, in March, he voluntarily checked himself into a rehab center for substance abuse. While spurred by too much salt and too many extra pounds, blood pressure in America's kids and teens has now gone sky high, creating a young generation at risk for serious health problems, including heart disease, stroke, and even worse. Now, for women, an aspirin every other day may keep colon cancer away, according to a new study. Women who took low-dose aspirin, that's 82 milligrams, on alternate days for 18 years saw a 20% drop in their risk of developing colon cancer, according to a study. So take heed on that. Well, you know, we've been talking about fish oil. Is it good for you? Is it bad? The omega-3 fatty acids. And the last study says that it could raise prostate cancer in men. Well, let's bring in Christian Wild, who went out to study these, and let's see what he found out. Christian, what do you got for us?
Well, you have to take the information seriously, George, on its face. But the explanation of the actual cause of the findings is very incomplete. You know, if somebody can't give you a theory or an explanation to go on that can help you, it's kind of like somebody telling you there's a time bomb in your house, but they won't tell you where it is so you can neutralize it. And I think that is the way these two studies that you are referencing to have positioned the information. You know, a lot of us guys have been taking fish oil supplements for many, many years.
That's right.
So here is what I think we have, George. We have two studies, both done at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Clinic in Seattle, and both studies basically conclude the same findings. The first trial was done in 2011, authored by Ph.D. Theodore Brasky of the Ohio State University Cancer Center. And knowing I'd be talking to you tonight about the studies, I had a brief discussion with the professor. I asked him, by which specific mechanism does the study identify as contributing to this vast 71% increase in aggressive prostate cancer in men? And his answer was, we have very little evidence to go on for biological mechanism. He shared that his best guess would be that polyunsaturated fatty acids are pro-oxidative when taken in high doses, which he said may explain what we're seeing here. Now, in looking at many studies over the weekend, probably 12, hoping to find a possible link and an explanation for this increased cancer risk that is not explained in the two studies. So I came across one study in particular that arrived at the exact opposite findings of the two studies. You know, sometimes a different study will arrive at completely a different endpoint.
That's right.
Well, you can find all three of these studies on my website if you want to read them in detail. But the study published in the Journal of the American Association of Clinical Cancer Research found diets high in omega-3 EPA and DHA may actually decrease the risk of developing prostate cancer.
Now I'm really confused.
Now it's really confusing, isn't it? Now here's the caveat. If somebody carries a variant of an inflammatory gene we know as COX-2, they were 5 times more likely to develop advanced aggressive prostate cancer. And my question is, could this be a possible explanation, and could this variant, the reason for the high number of prostate cancers showing up in these two recent studies? It's only speculation, but I think it might be a reasonable explanation for them to look at. Now, Dr. Alan Krystal, the author of the newest study, the one that was released just 3 days ago, appeared on MSNBC with Maria Bartiromo, and he said he didn't think that men over 50 should take fish oil at all. So what you decide with this information, it's up to you and your doctor, but I think it would be prudent to keep your eye on your PSA numbers, which would be, of course, a marker for prostate health.
Okay, Christian, thanks for that homework. And, of course, your website, myheartbook.com. Health officials in Saudi Arabia have asked pilgrims visiting its holy sites to wear masks in crowded places to stop the spread of the MERS coronavirus. A list of requirements issued by the health ministry there also tells elderly people or those with chronic diseases to postpone their pilgrimage. 38 people so far have died from the virus in Saudi Arabia. Apple is investigating an accident in which a Chinese woman was killed by an electric shock when answering a call on her iPhone 5 while it was charging. You might want to take heed on that one. And the NBA's Baron Davis says he was abducted by aliens in the desert a couple weeks ago. Strange story? Or is it? Up next, Whitley Strieber joins us. We'll talk about that and some other stories next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Lots this hour to talk with Whitley Strieber about. Of course, you know him, unknowncountry.com, host of the paranormal and fringe science-themed podcast Dreamland, available on a weekly basis from his website. And, of course, noted author as well. I can go through a whole list of his books, but we'd be on the air just talking about the titles. Whitley, welcome back. How are you?
Well, George, it's a pleasure to be back, as always. We're rolling right along.
Super. Look, we're going to talk a little bit about your wife, Anne, but I do want you to give us an update right now, Whitley, if you can. How is she doing?
Well, what happened to Anne was that she had a couple of seizures, and they discovered there was something in her brain, and they thought it was a benign tumor called a meningioma. But unfortunately, it's a very serious one, and called a glioblastoma, and it's not considered a survivable tumor, and we're just hoping for the best. She certainly seems absolutely fine now. She's taking appropriate therapies and also on what is called a ketogenic diet. We're both on it. This is a diet that causes your body to stop producing glucose, which is the only nutrient cancer cells can feed on.
That's right.
And to instead shift over to using ketones, which is something that is I'm not really up on the exact science of it, but suffice to say that most cells in the body can use ketones. And this, plus the therapies, plus a group of supplements that we've got, and we're going to be starting Qigong with a Qigong master who has himself defeated this very tumor 15 years ago. And we are in touch with another woman who has been living with this illness for 13 years.
Oh, my God.
This is something usually takes people's lives in a year or two.
Yeah, so. It does. Whitley, strangely enough, my sister has the same cancer that Anne has. She had stage 4. She had a tumor removed from her head many, many months ago, and she's still battling. Exactly same thing. Can you believe that?
Well, it's happening to an awful lot of people, and another worrisome thing is that Anne has some elements in her of something called gliosarcoma, which is associated with radiation exposure, and we really can't figure that one out. I'm just wondering if people along the West Coast are going to be showing up with this type of tumor. It's very rare that gliosarcoma is, especially. And I'm, you know, I'm just wondering if we've been told the whole story about Fukushima,
yeah.
Frankly.
Absolutely. That's a good point.
Where this could have come from.
Yeah. We're going to come back and talk about Ann because she's having some paranormal experiences at the same time. But give me your reaction to the Baron Davis abduction case where he says he was out in the Las Vegas area in the desert and he was picked up by some ugly looking non-Earth creatures.
Well, okay. Two things. First, he's tweeted that it was all a joke. That's one thing. The second thing is, why would he, of all people, just suddenly decide to say this? I mean, it comes out kind of out of nowhere, and it also comes out of an area of the country where there have been any number of late-night highway close encounters. They happen out in that part of the desert. I know of one case, of such an extraordinary case, I wish I could tell every detail of it, but suffice to say that one of the world's great scientists had a close encounter out there, out of which he got some calculations that have revolutionized a very important part of physics. And I know him well. So that part of the desert is a place where that sort of thing happens. How a guy that tall could be I just don't know. I don't know. Gosh, I know so many cases and so many extraordinary stories of celebrities having this experience. And then almost every single time they say to me, well, you can't ever say a word about it. And I never do. I'm always faithful to my promises.
I saw the story. I laughed about it. And then Lisa and I were talking about you saying, you know what, you'd be the perfect one to react to this because you really don't laugh about these issues.
Well, I don't because, you know, I get stories every single day. We have so many stories. This happens to people all the time. It's not rare. It's not any more unusual. We just pretend in our world that it's not happening, but that's just pretend. We're just being kind of childish about it. We go along with the guff from the government that it's not happening and that the real truth is they can't do anything about it and they don't want to admit that. And whoever's out there doing it, they obviously want to keep it secret too, or they'd be taking people out of shopping malls. And they're not doing that, are they?
No.
It happens in the desert in the dead of the night. And it happened to me in an isolated country house. And, couple of the things he said, he called them ugly, and he said they looked sort of half human and half something else. And he said, all of a sudden I was in this steel thing. And it just had a funny ring to it. It almost sounded like he thought it had happened. And then he was
backtracking. Yeah, maybe he had a lot of pressure or something.
You know, I knew the radio host, Morton Downey Jr., years ago.
He started all this.
Well, he did start this, yeah. He was one of the first late-night sort of radio guys, and he had an amazing close encounter of this third kind, and it was just why when I was on his show, I was on it often. He never dumped on me, and you know, that guy had dumped on, would have dumped on the Dalai Lama or the Pope, but never on me. And the reason was that he was driving one night, and he had to come to a stop because his car came into this thick fog bank, and he had dreadful teeth when he was young. He looked like a sea monster. He did. And these figures came around the car, and he found himself in this strange situation, this strange room, and he ended up sitting back in his car. It was hours had passed, and his teeth were fairly normal. They were much better than they had been before, and I could never pin him down. I say, Mort, I just can't believe it. You have to have had dental work. He said, I did, but it was from the beyond. We used to talk about it on the air.
I love that story. That's a great story. Hey, I had Peter Davenport on from the National UFO Reporting Center Friday, Whitley, and he was talking about waves of UFO calls coming into...
I opened our email on the 5th, the morning of the 5th, and we had 30 or 40 emails in there from people who had seen things, and I went to Peter's site, of course, and he had this enormous number of reports on there. So we wrote that up, and I tried to talk to a couple of the people who had, I emailed a couple of the people who had written us, and some of these things on July the 4th were definitely sky lanterns, you know, which you can get
novelty stores.
They sell them all over the place. And you just put a little candle in them and light them and set them off, and they make an orange glow in the sky. But, you know, on our website, we have guys who are professionals in special effects and in photography, and they can tell those immediately. It just takes them a second to look at a video of one of those. Some of these videos were strange. Some of these orange balls of light were not normal, and they weren't fireworks, and they weren't sky lanterns. And you have to ask yourself, were they using that particular night because they wanted to use kind of the cover of the fact that it was fireworks night? You just don't know. But certainly there was a wave of UFOs, and a lot of them are unexplained on that particular night. Yes, absolutely.
Let's go back to Ann for a second here, Whitley, because she's been having some paranormal experiences with her father. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, she does not see entities. I do see entities.
You do.
And I had been, in recent years, I have, you know, when I, 10 years ago, if you'd asked me, I would say I never really see the dead or anything. But I see them now a lot. I'm kind of used to it. They're around. I see them around all the time in different contexts. I especially see people just as they're checking out. If I know them, I will see them just as they're leaving this world. And I will often be able to say, well, so-and-so just died. And then an hour later, we find that it happened. In any case, we're facing this serious situation, and I had a couple of feelings of the presence of a male presence in the house, and I thought it might have been Ann's dad, and they were kind of estranged. Her mother died when she was 7, and he remarried, and the new wife didn't really care for her very much. It's a typical situation. She had her own kids, and so Ann was kind of estranged from him, And I've always said to her, you know, you need to forgive him. We need to, when we leave this world, we need to leave it without any of those burdens. And she's doing that now. And in any case, all of a sudden, one of the Johns in our house, the lid started being left up. And neither one of us do that. I never do that. She would have no reason to, obviously. Her dad always left the lid up. And it was like he was almost trying to communicate with us. And I'll tell you another time, in the Dreamland Festival 2 or 3 years ago, Marla Fries, the medium, was working at the festival at the time. And I was sitting in front with Ann, and all of a sudden, I became a medium. And that's not something I was used to. I realized, I said, Ann, it's your dad. Your dad is here. And she sort of looked at me dubiously. And then he suddenly said to me, tell her the name Marcel. And so I said, he's telling me to tell you about the name Marcel. And she just blinked in astonishment. And she said, that's my aunt Marcel. I saw her once in my life. I've never mentioned her to you at all. And I said, that's because your dad really is here. And he said to say that because he knew it would prove to you that he was here. And he's asking for forgiveness.
I love that story. How did she take it? Did she think maybe this is true? This is happening?
She thought that it was happening. She's gotten so used to it, she doesn't really doubt it anymore. I mean, we live in a world, George, our world, the world of the 20th century, where we're so embedded in this material culture. There would be cars are flying at us, food, everything, media, it's all just pulling us into the material world so much. We're going soul blind. And you, there's thousands. Most people actually don't even believe they have souls.
Whitley, hold on for a second. We're going to come back, talk more with you about this. And also, let's take some phone calls with Whitley Strieber here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Whitley Strieber. We'll go to your calls in just a moment. So, Whitley, you see these entities, and you're convinced the other side then really exists, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm certain of it. The whole experience I had beginning in 1985 and going right up through the 90s for 11 years had to do with one thing in the end, which was showing me one level of empirical evidence after the other that we are not simply physical bodies, that we are embedded in physical bodies, and this physical world in which we live is part of a vastly alive, incredibly large spectrum beyond this. And I live in a world where the exact opposite is believed to be true by more and more people. People are becoming convinced that there is nothing to us but the physical. At the same time, I was like that before I had the Close Encounters. You asked me if there was such a thing as a soul, I would have said absolutely not. But not anymore. I know it's true. You know, when I was at the Monroe Institute back in 1986...
Astral projection.
A guy... Well, this is a place where they... Bob Monroe pioneered out-of-body experiments, and there's been a lot of remote viewing work done there. It's a wonderful place. It's in West Virginia. In any case, I went there. After reading his book, Journeys Out of the Body, I had a completely clean separation from my body. Completely clean. I was moving around in the world without a body for a good 15 or 20 minutes, and so I went there. And at the time that I went there, I had a friend lying in his deathbed in New York, dying. He was not able to speak anymore. And while I was at the Monroe Institute, he showed up. And he was there the entire time with me. I could see him. And that was the first time I really had any kind of relationship with the dead that I was aware of, although some things had probably happened earlier that I wasn't aware of or didn't fully understand. But it was not long after that Anne, reading all these letters we were getting after communion came, and I mean it was thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands, and Anne being Anne, she had hired a secretary that two of them would go through these letters to the tune of 400 or 500 a day, and they did that for years. I mean, they did it for a long time. But in any case, at some time around there, she had a big chart, and she was making notes of what all the different people were saying about what was happening to them and so on and so forth. She suddenly said to me, Whitley, this has got something to do with what we call death. It's not aliens in spaceships coming to play scientific games with us only. It is a lot else beyond that. And that's part of the reason I know that this physical life is not the only life. There's more.
There sure is. Let's take some calls here. Whitley Strieber with us. We'll go to Will in Cincinnati, Ohio to get things started. Hey, Will.
Hello.
Hi, good to have you with us.
Great. Hello, Mrs. Strieber. I've read your books, and I have been getting the information to explain all this since about 1948, and just recently I got a message from Dr. John C. Lilly regarding the entrance of the asteroid, which was a harbinger of doom, which was followed by the meteor, which was sent by our supporters and the Intergalactic Council, who have been running the Earth experiment for millions of years
Now, tell me about this Council Whitley. Do you know anything about it?
Nothing. I've never heard. I have no contact with this idea at all.
Yeah, Will has called before, and he says he's the representative of the Galactic Council sent here. Who knows? But you know what? I guess if you do believe in extraterrestrial life like we do, you know, there must be enough sophistication out there where they'd get together, almost like we do with the United Nations, don't you think?
I have no idea. I just have no idea. All I can talk about is what I've seen and what I've experienced. I don't like to speculate, and I just have no idea.
No, you don't. You're like a scientist.
Sounds possible, but who knows? I mean, maybe they're too different from each other. They're certainly wildly different from us. I can't really imagine what would happen if we tried to sit down and talk. I guess it's possible, but what the experiences I had were far beyond anything like any kind of galactic council, I can tell you.
Well, yours didn't seem to be all too friendly, were they?
It depends. At first, I was treated like a lab animal, but once I started going out in the woods and trying to build a relationship, it worked. I built a relationship that lasted 11 years and it went on, and it still occasionally happens. Seems like every year or two, something will happen around here involving them, and they were immensely energetic, incredibly alive in ways that we just don't even have words for. They struck me as being spectacularly, breathtakingly dangerous, potentially, but also valuable. If anything could be terribly dangerous and very sacred, both at the same time, that's what I was dealing with.
Good point. Sedona, Arizona, we go. Blair's with us on Coast to Coast. Thanks, Blair. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Whitney, and thank you, George. Whitney, you talked about this lack of spirit and soul. It seems like one of the lessons, if this is a classroom, it's an exercise of faith as a basic lesson in a time-space universe, all the delays of time. And I was wondering if you might think of technology as serving humanity coming up. I have a friend recently, her name is Summer. She channeled a Dr. James Martin Peebles, who said we would be developing a technology to communicate with the other side, and fairly soon, like, would that be computer TV? What do you think about that?
Well, it's interesting because the man I call the Master of the Key, who I had a conversation with in 2008 that I is in my book, The Key, said the same thing, essentially, that there would be such a technology would come about. And he said an interesting thing. He said there's no supernatural. There's only a natural world, some parts of which you understand and some parts of which you don't. George, by the way, before we go, I want to mention that on the website Goodreads, my new novel, Alien Hunter, which is coming out on August the 13th, they're giving away free advanced reading copies, and so if you want to get one and get in line for one, they've got 40 to give away, and I'm sure there's more people looking for one than that.
What is that website again, Whitley?
Goodreads.com, and I would just go to it and search on Streber and Alien Hunter, and you'll get to it, and you'll be able to put in your name for a possible copy.
Okay, let's go to Ira in Brooklyn, New York. Hello, Ira. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Hi, George. Hi, Whitley. I want to bring you back in time, Whitley. About 30 years ago, do you remember coming to a school in Brooklyn and talking to a bunch of kids in my class?
I certainly do, and I thought your name said that was a wonderful experience for me, and I thank you again for it. I remember it very well.
Were you the teacher, Ira, or were you the student?
No, he was the teacher.
I was the teacher.
Okay.
Actually, what happened was I had seen AT&T was looking to send some videotape into outer space. And so I had my kids write a book, and we made a videotape. They came down, and they actually took our videotape and shot it into outer space. And it's still traveling in there welcoming aliens and telling him what it was like to live in Brooklyn. So, and then I wrote Whitley, and he very kindly came to my classroom, spent two delightful hours talking about the writing process and talking about his book, Communion. And we videotaped him. I watched that all the time. And I was just wondering, you know, I still haven't had any aliens come knocking on my door. I wonder if you had, since that time, about 30 years ago.
Lord, yes. You'd have to pick up some of my other books. I had them in my life for 11 years of just almost daily or certainly weekly close encounters and contact of, on many different levels. Probably the best thing place to do to catch up is to just go to the most recent one, Solving the Communion Enigma. It will catch you up pretty much with everything that happened. I remember your class quite vividly and quite fondly. I thought they had brilliant questions. They must have. They were really bright kids.
You know, Whitley, by the way, I can't go anywhere without people asking me about the implant you have near your ear back there. That's still there. Yep.
It's gonna stay there, I guess. Sometimes I think maybe it's been there long enough, and I ought to get it taken out just to see what happens.
It keeps moving on you, doesn't it?
No, it hasn't moved in a long time. When the doctor first tried to take it out, he touched the edge of it with a scalpel, and it was a white disc, and it moved from the top of my ear, where it is now, down into my earlobe. And he pulled out because it had been fixed. He was thinking of it as a cyst. And suddenly, it's
moving.
takes off like that. And they got a little corner of it, and the pathologist found that it was had a metallic base, and it had cilia on it that was a living material that enabled it to move. A few days after it had gone down there, it went back up to where it is now.
Strange.
I remember when it was put into my head and into my ear. It was put in by two people. I saw them coming into the room. I just couldn't stop them. I was immobilized.
Let's go next to Alan in Santa Cruz, California. First time caller. Wow. Alan, thanks. Hi.
Whitley, George, nice to talk to you. Listen, I don't know how to start this off, but I do know what you were talking about. I was listening to a show with you, George, and Whitley before. And how Whitley was talking about how embarrassed he was to talk about his abduction. I had the same thing. I couldn't quite explain to my wife what had happened to me in my bedroom. And since then, I have been obsessed with trying to find out what I could about this subject. I'm now headed to Las Vegas this coming week to the MUFON Symposium, and it was just, I can't tell you how I felt when I finally come to my senses at around 3:30 in the morning when I had my experience.
Well, it's just an extraordinarily difficult and amazing thing, and what's the worst thing about it is that unless you're with people who have also had the experience, most people will not believe you and will laugh and they can get very negative. I mean, I wouldn't tell coworkers or anything like that if I were you about it at all. This is the last thing in this politically correct world that people can be really treated badly about, because there's no bar. You might not be able to fire a person for any number of reasons nowadays, but you sure can if they say something like this.
Oh, you sure can.
So don't.
And that's why people change their stories, don't say anything, or maybe they tweet that this was only a joke.
Well, I was talking just a few minutes ago about a scientist who can't tell what happened to him. And if he could, it would change the way the world looks at this, you would think. But the truth is, it wouldn't. It would ruin his career. That's how lunatic and screwed up we are. This world is living in an illusion. It's la-la land. The only people who are sane are people who can look this kind of material with clear, open eyes. The rest of them, they're lost. They're living in an illusion.
They sure are. Let's go to Steve in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thanks for calling, Steve.
Hi. I was just wanting to share a couple experiences and then try to ask you if you could, you know, relate to that. When I was young, I seen lights in the sky, and then I had another phase in my life where I actually got saved, and I was praying on the floor one night, and I think Jesus showed up, and there was this motion that I experienced, and I was on one side of the room when I raised up, and I looked down, and I could see myself, and I went back down and said, something said, don't look, it's God, you know, you'll blow up or something. And then all of a sudden, when I got done praying, I was on the other side of the room, and I had actually passed through a table. And so then I got married a little bit later after this experience, and I had another experience. I was in bed one night, and I heard this, you know, kind of like a My Favorite Martian kind of thing. But I, at the same time, I could look out the window, and it looked like there was a UFO hovering above the pond. And then the next thing I know, I'm back in the bed. And all of a sudden, the ceiling does one of those Star Trek, opens up perfectly square. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, wow, is that Jesus? And as soon as I said Jesus, poof, the whole experience was over.
Hmm.
Have you ever, you know, spoken about the Lord or thought about God, why these things were going on? And
well, I don't. You know, my religious beliefs are my own business. I don't really.
Yeah, I've never heard you mention that. Never.
No, I keep, you know, I keep my own counsel. But suffice to say that prayer is a very important part of my life, and I'm not in league with demons. Beyond that, I have nothing to say. People will have to engage in their own search in this regard.
Whitley, would you give us that website again for Alien Hunter, that book?
Yeah, if you want to try for a free copy of the advanced reading copy of Alien Hunters, go to goodreads.com and search there for Alien Hunter and the name Streber, or just probably the words Alien Hunter will do it, and you can sign up to see if you will get one of these copies. And the book will be out on August the 13th.
Super. Let's talk later on, Whitley, do give Ann our best and our prayers as well. I shall be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about demons and possessions. Don't go away.